We have made our way now through Lent. We come to the holiest time of the year. We begin with this celebration of Holy Thursday. We have to recognize the timing of this, just all to put it into context. Remember, for the Jewish people, the day didn't start and end at midnight like it does for us. It starts and ends at sunset. And so as soon as the sun went down on what we call Holy Thursday night, that was Friday. So all of the events that we are going to be celebrating tonight and tomorrow all happened on Friday from the Jewish perspective. So we separated by a day because we say this happened on Thursday night, that happened on Friday. The Jewish people wouldn't have seen it that way. All of it happened on Friday. And that's important when we look at the Holy Eucharist, which our Lord consecrated and gave to us at that Last Supper. It was the Passover meal that he was celebrating. And we are told, first of all, that in the midst of the meal, so right in the middle of it, he suddenly stops and begins to wash the feet of his apostles. And it is only in doing that that the apostles are able to begin to understand. And our Lord even said to him, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will. And at the end of it, he says, do you understand what I did for you? And that's the question we really have to ask. Do we understand? On one hand, we're not capable of understanding what it is that he did. Because if we really think about it, that Good Friday, or if we even want to say Holy Thursday night and Good Friday during the day, we could certainly label this the feast of our Lord's humility. We hear St. Peter, for instance, saying, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You will never wash my feet. Now think about that for a second. Peter had already declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So somewhere deep in Peter's mind and in his heart, he already understood this. And it's one thing to be able to talk about the humility of our Lord to do this, which, remember, for the Jews, not even a slave could be required to wash the feet of his master, because this was seen as subhuman. This was demeaning. No one could be required to wash somebody else's feet. And yet here we have the Son of God doing that. By itself, in the objective, that's pretty astounding. I was talking to somebody this morning, made a beautiful point, one I hadn't really ever thought about. He said, if you're going to wash somebody's feet, you're going to be kneeling right in front of them. Think about that. This is God on his knees in front of his apostles, going from one to the next and doing something that even a slave could not be required to do. We are on our knees before Jesus, but here he is on his knees in front of his apostles. Now, when we listen again to the words of St. Peter, they begin to make a little more sense. Here's Peter with Jesus literally kneeling in front of him. He's looking at this and saying, wait a minute, who am I? No, you're not going to do this. This is beneath your dignity. But that was only the beginning. Because what he was going to do next was so far beyond even this act of humility to get down on his knees and to wash the feet of his apostles. Because now he was going to change bread and wine into his own self. And if that's not enough, He was going to give himself to his apostles. Consider the humility of Jesus. So tonight, as we ponder this, the single greatest gift that our Lord has given to us, himself in the Holy Eucharist, and he gave us on this night the gift of the Holy Priesthood so that we could have the Eucharist, once again, we see him doing this same thing. He himself has chosen to work through human beings. He and he alone can change bread and wine into himself. He and he alone can forgive people's sins. And yet he has chosen extraordinarily weak, broken human beings to work through, to be able to do this. Because it is going to require the same kind of humility on our part and the same kind of faith that we see on the part of the apostles to be able to accept and to receive this, because it is his gift. And I suppose you could say the weaker and more pathetic the instrument that he's going to use, the more obvious it is that it's him. If we went to Mass and we had a saint up at the front, we might say, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. God chose somebody that holy to do something like this. Yeah, there aren't many saints who are priests. Or do it the other way, there aren't many priests who are saints. In fact, you can look through the entire roster of 8,000 or so canonized saints. You can count on your fingers the number of parish priests who are on that list, and you don't need all of your fingers to do it. So that requires a huge amount of faith on your part to be able to come here and to say, this very broken, pathetic creature up in front of us that God himself has chosen for some unknown reason to be able to work the greatest miracles. It can only be him. This is not anything which is human, because it can't be. So for us to then look at it and ask ourselves, would we be willing to allow our blessed Lord to get down on his knees in front of us and wash our feet? I think most of us would probably object to that idea. It requires tremendous humility. There's a story of a bishop who went to visit a monastery, and he asked the abbot to bring the most humble monk in the entire place. So he brings this monk in, and he sits down in a chair and says to the monk, I want you to polish my shoes. The monk had no problem doing that. Down on his knees, cleaned up the bishop's shoes, polished them. He said, now I want you to sit in the chair, and I'm going to polish your shoes. And the monk humbly obeyed, sat down in the chair, and allowed the bishop to polish his shoes. And ask yourself, would you have done that? Maybe you would have been willing to polish the bishop's shoes. A lot of us might have gone, no way, do that yourself. But we've got maybe just a smidgen of humility, maybe we would have actually done that. But now reverse it and ask yourself, would you allow? I mean, if the archbishop came here tonight and said to you, let me polish your shoes, you're going to let him get down on his knees in front of you and polish your shoes? In other words, do you have the humility to allow God to serve you? That's hard. If we really stop and think about it, But now ask yourself, if I would have a problem with Jesus getting down on his knees in front of me and washing my feet, then what should be my disposition while I come down and kneel in front of him and receive him into myself? Something that is way more profound than washing someone's feet. The very person of Jesus Christ entering into us in the form of a piece of bread. The absolute total humility of our blessed Lord. And our disposition should be the same. But can we reverse it? Would we be able to say yes if he asked us to do that for him? Will you give yourself entirely to me? Would you be willing to lower yourself to be in this form so that I could receive you into myself? See, the struggle for all of us, remember, is that the depth of our humility is equal to the height of our charity. So if we want to love God more, we have to be more humble. And most of us don't like that. We like the idea of loving. We don't like the idea of being humble. Our Lord's love is perfect. He is love itself, which means that his humility is perfect. So much so that St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians can say that Christ was obedient even unto death. He didn't think that equality with God was something to be grasped, St. Paul said, but rather he lowered himself and took the form of a slave, being born in human form. But that wasn't enough. Then he was obedient even unto death, and that wasn't enough. He gives himself to us in the form of a piece of bread. That's how humble he is, and that is how much he loves you and me. So if you think about it in that way, he is essentially getting down on his knees in front of you and asking you to receive the gift that he is giving to you. Now, what's your response? That's what we need to think about. To look at the humility, to look at the charity. Not just to go through the motions and say, yeah, we go to Mass and we receive communion every time, that's what we do. No, that's not just what we do. We need to look seriously at this. We have to remember, as we go through this, and again, St. John, this reading that we heard about the washing of the feet happens in the 13th chapter of St. John's Gospel. And then it goes on with the various things that Jesus speaks in the high priestly prayer in the 17th chapter. And then, just like with the other three Gospels, tells us Jesus went out to the garden. He didn't finish the Passover supper. Tonight at the end of Mass, we are not going to say Ite Missa Est, as we normally do. We'll just say Benedicamus Domino, let us bless the Lord, instead of the Mass is ended. Because what happened at that first Mass was only completed on the cross. So it was in the part of the Passover meal that is called the Todah. Todah is the Hebrew word that means thanksgiving. The Greek word that means thanksgiving is Eucharist, Eucharistein. It is at that part of the meal that he gives himself to his apostles in the Holy Eucharist. And he continues to do this, but he didn't finish the Passover supper. At the Passover, there are four cups of wine that are to be drunk, and there are different points for different purposes. And he never finished it. because it's only on the cross when he said, consummatum est, now it is finished. He drinks that wine and he gives up his soul. So what's happening tonight and what is happening tomorrow when we celebrate the Lord's passion, his crucifixion and death, it's one and the same. This is simply putting the two together. What he did at the Last Supper, he did mystically. What he did on the cross, he did physically. But it is the same exact thing, just a different form. So once again, from the cross, what's he doing? He's taking on our sins and washing our souls clean. In other words, he is getting down on his knees in front of us and saying, let me take your sins away. Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. That's when Peter said, then wash all of me. All we need is our souls cleaned. And that's why he came. That is his humility and that is his charity. To clean our souls so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be united with him. And that union, it is to grow in humility so that we can grow in charity, so that we can love more and more and more. That is our Lord's desire. That is why he could say, what I have done, you must do for one another. We must have that humility and that charity to be able to continue the work of our Lord. And he continues it. So this isn't just something we look back and say, okay, 2,000 years ago, this is what happened at the Last Supper. No. In just a few minutes, it's going to happen here. Every single day on the altar, this is what happens. The humility and the charity of Jesus are given to us in the most extraordinary, extreme form as he gives himself to us and sacrifices himself for us to take away our sins, to fill us with his love. So think about that image, because we're accustomed to coming to Mass and all this is happening up at the altar and all these things. But as you come to the communion rail and you kneel down before him, just remember, before you could do that for him, he is doing it for you. He is kneeling before you and he is asking to wash you clean. And he is asking you to have the humility and the charity to receive him as you kneel before him. We don't have a problem kneeling before him. He is God, and we should be kneeling before him. But are we willing to allow him to kneel before us and to wash us clean? That's the mystery that we are celebrating tonight. The greatest, most glorious gifts that he has given to us. And it is all revolving around his humility so that the fullness of his charity can be shown. So think about St. Peter and why he would object. And then understand it is exactly what he's doing for you. And ask yourself, if Jesus Christ is kneeling in front of me, what is my response?